All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 9:01 on May 2, believe it or not, 2023. This is the Orange County Workforce Development Board Business Services Committee. Thank you all for being here. This is our first live in-person Business Services Committee in a few years. So thank you for being here. My name is Annalisa, and I chair this on behalf of the Workforce Development Board. Let's go ahead and get started with Pledge of Allegiance. If I could get Terry, our chair of the board, to lead us in the pledge.
Right hand over your heart, ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so we're now on item 3 of the board committee agenda, board member roll call. And if I could, since we have a few people who are joining us for the first time here. Who's going to be taking a role of this room?
Sonia.
Okay. If we could just perhaps have everyone introduce themselves here and then whoever is behind us maybe in transition out of respect for joining us and certainly staff so that we can get to know each other. We'll get through that probably in about 5 minutes or so. Okay. So just tell us your name, affiliation, and
Chair, can we just do, we need to do the roll call separately, and then if you can do that.
Okay.
Immediately. Okay.
Okay, we can do that too.
Gloria Alvarado.
Here.
Ben Juan.
Jesse.
Kathy Boyd. Mike Daniel.
Here.
Lori Holland, please. Terry Hollingsworth,
here.
Anna Lutz,
present.
Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon.
Here.
Todd Swart. Heather Falcon. Glenn Rothman.
Here.
We all have fun.
Thank you. I don't see any action items, but it's good that we have form. Let's go ahead and do a quick introduction of who's at the table and in the entire room, and then we'll get to the business. Let's start with Terry.
Okay. Great. Good morning, everyone. I'm Terry Hollingsworth. I'm the serve as the chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. I also work for the Hospital Association of Southern California. We're a regional trade association representing over 170 hospitals across the Southern California region. Thank you.
My name is Mike Daniel. I run the SBDC for Orange County and Inland Empire. We help businesses start and grow. I'm also a business owner at a couple of Rocky Mountain chocolate factories in one in Huntington Beach and two in Long Beach. So.
Good morning, Carlos Oregon, the CEO of ThinkBox International. We're in a number of different companies within the family underneath that company. One is ThinkBox Technology Group, which is an international consulting firm that specializes in IT program management. The other one is ThinkBox Construction. We do construction management for large hotel developments around the country.
My name is Rhonda Miller. I'm the Director of Business Engagement for the Better Business Bureau, serving the Pacific Southwest. I'm formerly with the County of Orange in the capacity of Workforce and Economic Development Division as Business Solutions Manager, so I'm very familiar with these programs. I also serve on the Anaheim Workforce Development Board, and I'm here in non-voting capacity. Thank you.
Hi again, I'm Emily Salute. Vice Chair of Workforce Development Board of Orange County and Chair of Business Services Committee. I am a business owner and I'm co-founder and CEO of Workforce Network, which is strategic public affairs marketing fundraising firm.
Well, I'm Francis Budd, the Assistant Director of Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division. So I'm the lead operational manager for the staff of the board.
Good morning, I'm Glenn Rockmore. I am CEO of Rockmore Higher Education Consultants. And usually working on technical assistance for colleges and universities. And recently retired 18 years from president at Irvine Valley College.
Good morning, everyone. Gloria Alvarado. I'm the executive director of the Orange County Labor Federation, representing over 250,000 members, union members, and over 97 unions in Orange County.
Start back there.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. My name is Andrew Fatney. I'm the Executive Director of the United for Financial Security Initiative at Orange County United Way and a pending board.
Hello, my name is Roxanne Soto. Good
morning. Randy Wentworth. I'm a member of Iron Workers Local 416, Delegate for Orange County Building Trades.
Good morning. I'm Jess Carr. I'm founder of SIG Automation. We specialize in custom automation, robotic systems, AI, and systems.
Chris Victorious is following part of the first night.
Hi, good morning. My name is Patty Simone, and I'm also with the Orange County Workforce Economic Development, specifically oversee our
Brent Hernandez. I'm a business solutions coordinator, also with the Workforce and Economic Development Division.
Strada, I'm also a business solution representative, and I'm also with the Orange County Workforce and Economic Development.
Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Hoy. I'm the Business Solutions Manager with OC White.
Good morning, my name is Marianne Suga. I'm newly minted with the Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division, working with the layoff prevention and response.
Thank you, Lopez. I'm a Grants and Programs Manager. I oversee the Title I program and with the Workforce Economic Development.
I'm Annette Kelly Riddle. I'm the Regional Organizer. I serve all three Workforce Development Directors.
Good morning. My name is Raj. I'm the founder and CEO of SIM Insights. We are an Irvine-based company specializing in workforce development using virtual reality, augmented reality, and artificial intelligence.
My name is Renee Ramirez. I'm the director for Orange County Community Services, which consists of the Office on Aging, the Veteran Service Office, and the Workforce and Economic Development Division.
Excellent. And Sonia Munoz.
Hi. Sonia Munoz, OC Community Services, Admin Department.
Hi. Desiree Gonzalez, OC Community Services, Admin as well.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you all for the introductions. It's always important to remind yourself who is in the room and committed to this work. Okay, we're going to move on to item four of the agenda. Are there any public comments at this time? No public comments. Okay, so seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to the information items on the agenda. So for those of you who might be new to the committee, you'll hear a lot of reports and information predominantly from staff. So we'll go through the agenda, and that goes for those who are pending as well. As I noted and alluded to, we are in a period of transition at this point, and you'll hear more from the county staff when that is appropriate. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and move on to item five, hiring initiatives that relates to job fairs, hiring events, job posting support, on the job training, apprenticeship, etc. Who's going to give the report on title?
That is me. Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder, I'm Elizabeth Hoy. I'm the Business Solutions Manager with OC Web. Before I get started, do you want me to run through the whole presentation or do you want me to just take questions? I'm not.
How about we do a brief presentation, a little bit of an overview?
Okay, sure. Can I run through? No. Sure. Just, I'll give a few program highlights, so I'll tell you how to stop. So we had one job fair this quarter. We had the Veteran and Military Family Career Fair at Soka University. And we had, sorry, can you go up just one more page? Yes, thank you. We had 91 organizations, which consisted of 83 businesses and 8 community-based organizations. And then we had 70 job seekers that checked in. Overall, it was a great event. The surveys are in your packets. The most common feedback was more attendees, which is always, you know, it's kind of a toss-up how many attendees we get. So sometimes they're well attended, sometimes they're not. We think one issue here might have been location, because Soka is kind of isolated and hard to get through public transportation. We did our best to provide all of our job seekers with step-by-step instructions on how to get to the location using public transportation. There was a bus line and a shuttle that was available, so we provided that information. I'm just gonna... Sorry. We can go down to the next slide, number 8. Oh, sorry, one more.
Sorry.
So I know previously the board has liked to see the employer
by demographics. So we had 3% technology, 4% education, 16% government, 9% healthcare, 10% hospitality, and 7% manufacturing. And then the other consisted of just anything that didn't really fit into this category. You can go down. We can go down to the next section. We can skip all of these. I won't bore you guys with the survey results. If there's any questions, here are some event photos of the job fair. So it was pretty busy. So it was a great location, and we were very happy that they allowed us to post it there. Down to the next one. So for hiring initiatives, we did not have any hiring events that took place this quarter. Due to staffing issues, we could only hold so many activities. And so hiring events were put on hold this quarter. We are bringing them back slowly but surely, and I'm hoping to get them back as the year progresses. Let's see, going down. So, sorry, up to the next one. Yep. We really did a focus on work experiences for our youth participants. So these are just a few that are currently available. And then the status at the end, whether we're recruiting them, whether they're filled. One of them, like 211OC, is recruiting and filled because they have multiple positions. So we have one person in there right now, but we're also looking for additional. And they kind of run the gamut on industries. So we have retail, we have food, we have hospitality, insurance and finance, property management, social media. So it kind of runs the gamut on what we have available. Next slide, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, sorry, go back up. Just the next slide after that one. So work experiences in progress. All of these, except for the youth center, were either launched yesterday or will be launching today. So these have all been launched, and we're now looking for people. So we have with the city of Stanton a maintenance worker, 2 administrative and social media assistants for the San Clemente and the Garden Grove Chamber of Commerce, a youth services advocate for CAPOC, and then a social media assistant for Human Works. Next slide, please. On the job trainings, next focus is on the job trainings. We definitely need to bulk up our activities there. I have about 6 on the job trainings in the pipeline right now. We're just waiting to finalize the paperwork. So those are coming. It's just a matter of getting the employers to finish the paperwork, which is kind of a slow going process. Next one. And these are the ones that are in progress. So we have an environmental inspector trainee, an account executive, safety coordinator, charge nurse, mental health specialist, junior accountant, and maintenance technician. So again, we're trying to create as much diversity in our opportunities as possible. And then apprenticeships. So we've been kind of working on bulking up our apprenticeships for a while now. So the ones in gray are ones that we have previously done in past quarters. The ones in white down here are the ones that we've had discussions with and started the process with this quarter. So Concord Career College is looking to create an apprenticeship program. They have apprenticeship programs in Florida that are currently working, and they're trying to bring the model to California. Allsum Jobs is looking to create hospitality and kind of entry-level healthcare positions for senior living facilities. And then Bainbridge Environmental, who is one of our OJTs that we are in progress with, is looking to create an apprenticeship for their environmental inspector trainees.
Elizabeth, what area is Concord looking to develop programs in?
They're not quite sure yet. Oh. So we just had an initial conversation on what that process entails.
Okay.
And they were going to go back and work with their team to see what kind of areas they wanted to focus on.
Okay.
Next one. Oh, and Business Solution Survey. So Business Solution Survey is the next one, so I will hold off on that. Is there any questions about the hiring initiatives, job fairs, that
section?
Are there
any questions?
Yes.
Out of the 70 people who participated, how many are we capturing into the other programs, training programs?
Typically, we do not have our service providers at our job fairs, so I don't think any. I don't know the answer to that question, if they've followed up and gone on their own.
Do we capture the information though? Can we go back and reach out to them?
Yes, we do. We take all of their registration information. So if they register,
in advance, we get a lot of information. If they show up the day of, we try to capture at least their phone number, or email, and name.
But there was a service provider at that event.
There was, yes, our veteran service, our VEEP. So I, that would be a question for Eric. I'm not 100% sure how many people they've captured there.
But the service provider for the Workforce Solutions Center was also there, because I attended the event and I spoke with them.
Yes, you are correct.
So for what was the program that you said because of insufficient staff, you're not able to?
Hiring events.
Hiring events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so have we received any requests from employers?
We have. So previously we were doing individual hiring events and then our multi-industry hiring events, which were 5 to 10 businesses. And we were hosting those multiple times a month. But because I am currently the only person in the department, there's only so much that I can stretch myself. And hiring events were something that Karma had decided early on that we were going to put on hold for the time being.
So I'm just trying to get a sense on the demand. So, I mean, can you give me an idea of how many businesses have reached out to?
I mean, honestly, every business I talk to wants a hiring event, whether they have one person or they have 100 people. Everyone, you know, it's something if they can do a targeted recruitment that they're going to take advantage of. So everybody would like to participate in one.
So we have an unmet need.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I guess at some point in time, we'll learn a little bit more about the transition and how soon we can resume those services.
Yes. So this quarter, like last week, we had a hiring event for OCTA because they were hiring over 200 bus drivers. So there was a significant need for them that we did a hiring event for. We also, on May 12th, have a construction and automotive hiring event that we are putting on specifically for the California Job Challenge youth participants. So we kind of created an event for them, but aside from really specific targeted events, we're not bringing back the like multi-industry open to all business hiring events at the moment. I'm hoping to bring those back as soon as possible because there is a need for them. They were very successful. Businesses loved them, employer or job seekers loved them. So it is something that everyone really needs and wants. It's just a matter of capacity.
Is there a plan to add to the team to be able to handle this, or is there an open rec? Or
yeah, so yes, we currently have job office out for, I believe, 5 staff. So we're pending responses to that. So yeah, we are wrapping up, and I'll provide an actual staff update here just once Elizabeth's finished. I thought about it a little bit
more. You talked about a lot of businesses getting partially through and not completely on paperwork. What is the biggest holdup to the paperwork? Like, what do they struggle with?
A lot of the companies that we've been dealing with are small businesses. So they're, you know, having their own staffing issues. They obviously need to bring people in. So it's just a matter of them having the time to complete the paperwork. So the application's the biggest hurdle to get through in the very beginning is getting that completed. From there, it's then creating the job description and the training plan, which I try to help as much as I can. Usually they have a pre-existing job description that we can create it based on. I'll do a draft of the training plan and the flyer and send that to them for the approval. And then we have to get the training hours from them, which usually for some reason takes a while to get back. So it really just is dependent on their availability and how fast they can get it back to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. And that's regarding the ETP training, right, that you're speaking to?
No, that's regarding our on the job trainings.
Oh, I'm sorry, on the job
yes.
training. Because what I've heard from hospitals, when we present them with on the job training opportunities is the volume of paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on your experience, is there any way to streamline that
so
process?
We starting off the bat when we were kind of launching this program, one of the main things we wanted to do was streamline the paperwork as much as possible.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much streamlined to its lowest potential. So there's really just the way the process works, just for a quick explanation. So there's an application process to fill out, which is basic business information that we need to use to even determine if the business is eligible for OJTs. There is a work site safety evaluation, which is basically I go to the site that the employee would be working at to make sure it's a safe work environment. So do they have
an emergency evacuation route, a fire extinguisher, first aid kit, those kind of things. And then from there, it is developing the training plan with the job description. And then we can launch it from there. And then there's a monthly evaluation that the employer has to fill out. So based on that training plan, how are they progressing, that kind of thing. And then there's paperwork at the very end where they have to submit an invoice, time cards, and pay stubs. So the paperwork that we require is really the bare bones of what we can require, because we know that paperwork is such a barrier. But, you know, there are requirements that we have to adhere to, so.
Are there samples that they could look at? You know, they don't have a plan. They don't have some of these things. Do they have, like,
yeah,
most business owners need to copy something?
I've provided samples, yeah, of every step of the process for employers if they need it, yeah.
Awesome, okay.
Since we're talking about streamlining, appreciate to hear that it is getting streamlined. I'm wondering if there has been conversation to automate perhaps some of the processes.
Can you give me a little bit more?
So, for example, there might be some constraints around this, but is there any way that, and I don't know if it's, is it paperwork or is it automated?
It's fillable PDFs. Yeah.
Okay, fillable PDFs.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how can we make the customer experience a little bit easier. Is it something they can fill out on a phone or perhaps do on an app type of format to make it as easy as possible? It may not be something that's available now, but perhaps something that we can through or
yeah,
figure
that's
out how to make
definitely easier. Something worth exploring. I'm all for making it easier for everybody. So any ideas that anybody has, I'll consider.
Yeah. I know that we just went to the DC conference and there were quite a few solutions there, tech-based solutions and beyond. So something to plant in the back of our heads.
Yeah.
We have to see how and where that fits in with everything else that Grant scheme of things in the big picture, but however we can make things in life easy for everyone across the board, whether it's business partners or certainly staff and our clients, and the more adoption we can get potentially. Are there any questions from our guests? Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm new to all this. Sorry if this is a question. What kind of jobs are qualified for this? Is there like a subcategory of jobs or any job is qualified?
It could be any job, it just has to be a gross or in-demand occupation. So that is something that the federal government dictates, that I have to research each position through the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So it is available to any industry, the occupations just depend. So the additional criteria, aside from being a gross occupation, is that it has to be a full-time permanent position that provides health benefits and pays at or above a livable wage, which currently is $23.66 an hour.
Thank you for that level setting questions, because we have a lot of folks who are new. And apart from the hiring initiatives, if there is a business here who would like to engage or perhaps learn more or take advantage of other services, how would they go about doing that?
They just need to reach out to me directly.
Okay. Yep. Any other comments, questions?
When's the next job fair?
The next job fair is on June 2nd.
Okay, so it's coming up. And in order to kind of combat the lack of attendees, what's the strategy to try and get an increase in attendees for that job fair?
Yeah, so this job fair is in conjunction with the San Clemente Chamber of Commerce and the City of San Clemente. And they are really focused on having students, their main focus is like summer jobs for students. So they are focusing on sending it out to all of the high schools, middle schools, community colleges, universities around the area. Obviously we send it out to all of our participants. We share it on social media. We send it out to anyone enrolled in CalJobs or enrolled in WIOA, which typically is about anywhere from 4,000 to 9,000 people at any given time. So there's only so much outreach that we can do because we're limited. We can't do any funded marketing, but those have been the main discussions so far.
If I'm hearing it right, it sounds like the hiring initiatives seem to be much more well attended than the job fairs, but the hiring initiatives and hiring events are
that's what's being put on hold versus the job fairs with the low attendance.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I guess I'm wondering, I hear you needing more staff, but are there other resources you could tap into? I mean, you've got service providers at location there. Could they be of help to support a hiring initiative to try to get these hiring events back up and running again? Because you've got businesses that want them and you've got job seekers that want them.
Yeah, there's always that possibility. That decision came down from my director and I wasn't going to go against her. So I'm all for exploring and bringing them back. Yeah.
Yeah, based on what Terry was saying, you know.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're a great resource and I think we should bring them back. That is definitely one of my priorities. It's just a matter of figuring out what's gonna be the most effective way of doing that.
I think that's something for consideration. I'm glad you pointed that out. So what we're hearing is that the hiring events are well attended versus compared to the hiring events. So why not? Why job fairs? So why not focus our attention on the hiring events versus the job fairs?
Yeah.
But you have the smaller venue, more engagements.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the follow-up that you can do with those 70 people who participated. Now we invited you to get higher, come on, come on down. I think that would be the follow-up for that, perhaps that missing part.
And follow up with employers.
Yeah,
definitely. Well. How many did you hire? I get that there's recruitment people there, and so they've satisfied that box. But I mean, how much engagement and outreach is being done directly to employers to say, you know, what the measurable outcomes are, which is the hire, which is the money.
So is it necessary that we take action on that? How's this? We're not in any position to take action on this particular.
Isn't anything on the
there are
no action?
Yeah, okay. We don't have an action item, but we can take the recommendation of this committee and
yeah.
come back and present and basically present like our findings at the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be helpful when you have the hiring events and the on-the-job trainings? Being new, Glenn, maybe you're in the same boat that I am. Like, if there were dates that I had an understanding of what was new and what was happening within this quarter versus what was carried over, I think that kind of data and the dates and the launch dates, and I mean, even the data of the number of candidates that have been submitted. If we have an idea of the number of candidates that are submitted, maybe we can get an understanding of why it's working, why it's not working. You know, does the job description need to be changed, you know, or the training plan or whatever? I mean, I think the more data, the better. So we gain an understanding, even when was the last contact with the employer, so we can see where they are in the process.
Yeah. Sure, I'll provide any data you want.
So I have a learning moment question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here also is, it seems like there's a lot of synergism between the job fair and the hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they be combined so that it's kind of a two-step process?
So our hiring events are essentially mini job fairs, right? So they are where one business or 5 to 10 businesses, depending on which model we're using, comes to our Workforce Solutions Center, which is currently in Garden Grove, and they set up shop and they interview participants, right? Our job fairs, on the other hand, are 100 employers and however many job seekers attend. And it's the same model, it's just a matter of scale.
Okay, any other questions? Actually, I had a similar question. Might it be possible to carve out an area or a section of whatever job fair venue is and say, hey, we're also having a hiring event and have more bang for your buck, perhaps. So as we're going through this transition, these are all wonderful ideas. Love the comments and feedback. We can, you know, put that on the parking lot, perhaps.
Absolutely.
About how we can incorporate. And the intention is to give support. I like the idea of perhaps having a calendar of events to see ahead of time. How can we support you? How could this body, we all have networks that can provide support to you and to this board. How can we do that? And I think it starts with just information.
Okay,
thank
sure.
you.
I Appreciate will cr- add a calendar of events.
Thank you.
I'm also presenting the next section, which is the business solution survey.
Okay,
so I'm going to run through that really quick. Again, I don't know how much time you want
to spend on this because the results are in your packets, but I'll just do a quick overview. So in this quarter, we engaged with 185 employers and satisfaction surveys were sent to 94 of them. The discrepancy in that number is the 185 included job fair participants who do get their own separate survey. They do not get the business solution survey. So that's just clarification on that. So going down. So these are the resources that they said we helped them with. You will notice five of them took job fairs. I looked through that data. I'm not going to change their answers, obviously. That either included that we helped them with registration for the job fair, setting up CalJobs accounts so they could register. Some of them attended our job fair, but we also helped them with additional services and they just marked job fairs as their response. So that's the reason for that. We can go down. So how would you rate the assistance provided to you? 5 stars and 1 4-star. How would you rate the customer service? All 5 stars. How likely are you to use business solutions again? Again, 11 5 stars and 1 4-star. And then additional feedback. I will let you guys read that on your own. And that is the conclusion of the business solution surveys. Any questions on those?
Just one comment. I shared this with you before the meeting started. I'm beginning to hear a lot more about Orange County Workforce Development in the community.
That's
and
great.
Business solutions. I was actually at a meeting where the San Clemente City Economic Development Director was there and mentioned you by name and this event that you're putting together. So I think that's good. And I'm personally seeing a lot more engagement as well among the nonprofit sector. They're seeing a lot more of that. So our intention is to get more of that same momentum.
Yes.
Certainly engaging more in the business sector as well. That's what
I've also seen an uptick in referrals. So businesses that we've worked with are referring their friends and we're getting more engagement that way. So that's great that they feel we're doing a good enough job to recommend us to others. Yeah. So
absolutely.
What do you think is the reason why only 12 responded?
That's a great question. We send these out weekly so that we're kind of at the top of people's minds. So as soon as the service was provided to them, we send the survey at the end of the week to try and capture them as much as possible. They do come from our business services email, so I don't know if those are going to people's spam folders or they're just kind of overlooking them. A lot of people don't like to take surveys. We have kind of explored and thought about how we can increase engagement, and it hasn't completely panned out. So if you have any recommendations, I'm all for exploring them and implementing them.
Might it be possible to actually conduct on-site surveys as people are exiting and perhaps incentivizing? So that doesn't mean everybody gets a prize, but if you do submit something, you get entered into something, because that's incentives are really psychologically sometimes effective.
So we've explored that possibility of doing the kind of raffles with our job fair surveys. The issue is we cannot fund any prizes. So like for this job fair that we have coming up, the San Clemente Chamber in the city wanted to do a raffle. And we said, I told them we're absolutely able to do that, but we have to get a prize donated or you need to provide the prize. So that is something that we're implementing in this job fair to hopefully boost that engagement. But in terms of business solution surveys, doing it right after a call or a meeting, I don't know how well that would be received,
What about that call, not right after the meeting, but or carving out a few minutes so that I bet you will have more than 12 participate if you ask. Would you mind using the last 3-5 minutes, I don't know how long it takes, to complete the survey?
Sure.
Just to have them on the table beforehand. Perhaps so something can.
Sure.
Is there any feedback on the 4-star comments or?
No, I looked. I try to go through and figure that out. There wasn't anything. I think there, if there, and I apologize, I don't remember the exact survey result. Either there was no additional response or it was just like a thank you. So there was no additional feedback. That's why we have that last question to kind of give us that feedback. They don't always use it.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I just want to confirm there were 4 rapid responses conducted.
Correct.
What were the industries for those rapid responses?
Bryn will be answering that later.
Okay, I didn't see the warm note slide.
She's just presenting the information. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And before we transition to the next item on the agenda, Francis wanted to share.
Yeah, I just want to give us an overall staff update for the staff of the board. So the main update is Carmel Lacey submitted her resignation to the County of Orange. That's going to be effective May 4th. So she's still technically a county employee. She didn't have personal time off planned for this week, though, so she's unavailable this week. As soon as that position does become vacant officially, the county will be launching a full recruitment to fill that position. In the interim, I'm the assistant director. I'll be overseeing the daily operation of the staff of the board. And then Renee Ramirez is the OCCS director and will fill the executive director role needs. We do plan on operations maintaining their current business as usual. You really should see no interruption in service at all. We're pretty well established. While Carmen's going to be missed, we're going to miss her presence. We do have some good structure in place. We do have a lot of knowledge in place, and it should be a business as usual. So please don't worry. I think everything's going to continue fine. And other updates we have to our staffing. You did meet Marianne here a minute ago. She's joining our business solutions team, primarily overseeing the rapid response and life aversion program. So we're going to see a big ramp up there in service delivery. We do also, Elizabeth did officially get promoted into the manager position of business solutions. And as you can see from her presentation and hearing what she's doing a lot. And I know there's a lot more we want to do there, but I think with her, she's accomplishing a lot with the amount of time that she has in her day. She's doing a lot for us. Additionally, we have another manager joining us this Friday. Her name's Jocelyn. She's going to be overseeing our one-stop operator provider. So that's where we'll be able to help the business solutions as far as on-site events. She'll be helping manage like facilitating the facilities, right, where we're housing the event. And we do have additional job offers out for some support staff. We haven't received word on those yet, but we've got additional staff offers coming on very soon there. That's about it for staffing updates. Are there any questions?
For the business solutions department, how many individuals do you think you need to hire to support the county?
I mean, it depends on how much support we want to get, right? We can always add more staff, right? So it depends on how big we want to scale. But I think initially we need to scale them to probably 1 or 2 staff in supporting. Because we have Marianne and Bryn will be one side of the house, Elizabeth, and then a couple more staff helping her out with like the hiring initiatives. Will get us in a really good place.
Other comments or thoughts?
And how long is the hiring process? How long will that?
For the county?
Yes.
It depends. It varies, right? So this is a priority position, which say for Congress position, that's going to be a priority, right? It's going to be expedited, I'm sure. So, but we're still probably going to be looking at 4 to 6 months, I guess, for it to be filled. Because obviously we want to make sure we get the right candidate for the position, right? It's such a important position. For support staff positions, I mean, those recruitments can go, 4 to 8 months. It really kind of depends on the process. Currently we have job offers out. We've had an ongoing recruitment, which a couple rounds going to use. We've got some great staff from the previous round. The second round, we've identified some great staff. Hopefully they work out. But those processes, on average, we're looking at about 5 months for the, from the announcing the position to actually the staff starting. But we're kind of coming to the end of that cycle. So once these staff are on board, we'll start a new cycle. But we'll be pretty close to fully staffed here, hopefully, in the next month.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead and move on. I think we're at item 8. All right. Rapid response from our notice.
Actually, 7. Sorry.
7. Okay.
Unless you want to skip me, that's okay. No. All right, good morning, everybody. I'm just going to provide a brief update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center.
So to date, we've had over 30,372 calls. So between January 1st and March 30th, we had 1,502 calls. And then just to break that down a little bit further, we had 940 business calls, 469 job seeker calls, and 93 community calls. So we just continue to provide a lot of support to all of the businesses who have applied for the micro business grant or want to apply. But that's pretty much it. That's my update. Does anybody have any questions?
The 900 plus from the businesses is it predominantly for the micro grant?
For the micro business grant, or we're helping them out with like the job fair, or they have some questions about like hiring events, or they're interested, or just want some like hiring assistance. So that's when we refer them over to Elizabeth.
And I'm wondering if we ask them how they heard about us.
We don't, but we could definitely start doing that.
That would be good in order to then track what type of opportunities have been most effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if we can go ahead and do that and ask that to, for the next meeting, we can include that information.
Comments, questions, thoughts?
Yeah. What languages do you speak as a call center?
Well, we have like a language line and they provide over like 200 languages. So pretty much any language out there, if you need translation services, we can get that.
Do you track that when they call it? What language they're...
We do, but I don't have those numbers on me. We don't necessarily get them all the time, but we do get predominantly like Spanish or Vietnamese.
Would this be helpful in a slide instead of verbal?
Yeah, I think you've probably done it before in a slide. I'm curious to know, based on the data, I can't remember what it was last quarter, but are you seeing a trend one way, going up, going down, kind of same?
It has been going down. So I do have like the numbers right here. So we have like about like 358 less calls in the last quarter. So it has gone down since we did have like a big rise because of the micro business grant. We had a lot of businesses who needed assistance with their application, but we definitely did experience like a little bit of like a decrease in calls. It's not as many businesses were applying. So it was predominantly in like the business type of calls. So we had 342 less calls. So last quarter we had 1,282 business related calls versus 940 this quarter or last quarter.
Rhonda, did you have a question? Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I just think that if I could see it, it's easier for me to see than it is to hear. And then I love this, Annalisa, quarter over quarter to see the difference plus or minus, right?
Yeah, I can go ahead and put that for the next report.
And just for clarification, the micro grant would be for small businesses with how many employees?
Less than five.
Less than five employees. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Has that been pushed out completely, or are there still funds available, or where do we sit?
Yeah, so we actually just sent out like the last batch. So we just approved the last batch. I'll be talking about that a little bit after Brand goes up. If you want to go ahead and I can come back later and talk about all of that good stuff.
Is that number 9?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Brand and then me again.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Any other questions about calls? Hearing, seeing none. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right, let's move on to item 8, rapid response report notice.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bryn Hernandez. I'll be providing the rapid response and WAR notice update for the third quarter. During the quarter, we received a total of 15 WAR notices. They were spread amongst a variety of different industries. The highest industry impacted was manufacturing with a total of 4 WAR notices, followed by professional scientific and technical services at 3 WAR notices. And then healthcare and social assistance, we also received 3 WAR notices. In addition to those 15 WAR notices that we received during the quarter, we also were in communication with 2 companies that also provided layoffs during the quarter, but they were not mandated by the WARN Act. So we did not receive WAR notices. We still offered them services. During the quarter, a total of 888 employees were impacted by layoffs. Approximately 46% of those layoffs were as a result of facility closures. And then the remaining 54% were as a result of workplace reductions. So that resulted in permanent layoffs. During the quarter, we provided rapid response services to a total of 7 companies. And of those 7 companies, we provided 10 rapid response presentations, as some employers asked us to go out to their work site multiple times, also provide rapid response services in languages in addition to English for employees at their work site who maybe spoke Spanish or Vietnamese. Those are typically the other requests that we receive. 7 of those presentations were in person, and then 3 were done virtually. So we still are offering virtual services if the employer requests that, as some do have workers that are still working remotely. And of the individuals that attended the presentations compared to the number that were impacted by layoffs, there were a total of 66% that actually attended compared to the impacted number. Our partners during the presentations continue to be EDD Workforce Services Branch, EDD Unemployment Insurance, Apex Financial Services Group, who is our financial partner, our division, our Workforce and Economic Development Division, and our OC Core program, which oversees our Dislocated Worker Grant program. And then in addition to those individualized presentations that we offer for companies, we also continue to offer rapid response webinars virtually. They're open to the public. We post the information on Eventbrite, and we also provide that information to employers that maybe do not want to do an individual presentation. And we still let them know that those services are available as well for the employees that are impacted by layoffs. So we offer those every other Wednesday via Zoom, and they were offered throughout the quarter as well. And I'm open for any questions if anyone has any.
What was the number again, the layoff number? The impacted?
The number of individuals, 888.
What company?
There's quite a few. Do you want me to?
The top three.
Let's see. Marshalls and Laguna Hills closed. 64 individuals were impacted. Providence Express Care closed 13 locations, 63 individuals impacted. And that's in our workforce area. I believe they also had a location in Anaheim, so that number for the Anaheim location was not counted. Western Digital Irvine had 62 impacted. Let's see. We have quite a few others that are also in the 60s. Amazon had 86 across 4 locations. Google, 2 locations, had 60.
I'm just asking because I think it will be good to compare it to the trainings that we're providing. I know we have to look and see the jobs of the future, but if you have 60, and I'm thinking, right, 60 Google and Amazon, I'm thinking technicians, I'm thinking IT. So how can we bring them in and just connect them with the, I don't know, upgraded training or whatever they're.
So with that, so we have our OC Core program, which is for dislocated workers, right? So they actually go out, we have a representative go to the rapid response meetings and actually give presentations there, and they actually engage the individuals there. So we connect them with our program directly. So, and then based on every situation is different, right? Everyone has a different skill set. They can identify like what their skill set is and see if they need additional training. Or for someone who's job ready, and we just help them get placed somewhere else. But yeah, we do have our program go out to all of these meetings.
And do we have those numbers? The success rate?
I can tell you as of yesterday, we have 199 participants enrolled in the program. As far as like how many of those have been placed, I'm sorry, I don't have that off the top of my head.
But I think this is really good. Maybe for the future reports, it would be good to have that comparison so that we can follow up as well. Okay. Thank you.
And then the other two healthcare, I'm aware of, since we communicated regarding Providence.
Yes.
What were the other two healthcare organizations?
I'm so used to doing this virtually, so I have it all pulled up. Sorry about that. Let's see, healthcare, Providence, Room Health, and Room Medical Group. So they did offer, I know that group particular, they started when the pandemic started, they had a lot of COVID testing facilities.
Okay.
Since testing is not in demand as much, a lot of their employees were impacted as a result of that.
So I'd like to offer, whenever a healthcare provider, is facing layoffs, I'm willing to help as I did with Providence. So.
Sorry, and the other one too we had was Blue Shield of California.
Yeah.
That was a statewide impact. So we did collaborate on a statewide level, and we did have a statewide rapid response for that. There were 7 employees impacted from their Costa Mesa location. a variety or a large number of employees were more from Northern California.
Oh,
for those layoffs.
Are there any questions from our transitioning board members about some of the acronyms? WARN notice, layoffs. Always want to make sure. We always ask. Okay. I mean, just to Terry's point, I mean, that was just a lovely, or you say you're there. I'm just wondering about industries, right? What industries are affected? Because we've identified, according to the regional revised regional plan, the sectors that we're focusing on. In Western Digital is manufacturing, right?
Oh, yes, they are.
Right. So if you've got a lot of manufacturing companies that are laying off, and we're focusing on bulking up the manufacturing sector, at what point can you take companies that are in the manufacturing industry that you've got relationships with or can at least reach out to say, we have a number of people who are laying off, can we do some sort of connection or marriage or special hiring event specific to manufacturing with several manufacturing companies, bring in those affected by those layoffs and try and get an immediate match?
Right. So I think as our staffing improves and we have more staff to support our business solution services, we'll definitely be able to provide more layoff aversion support, and that will be a part of that.
Like, yeah, so that's what Marianne's joined our team to do, right? So Marianne is been eight days with us. So she's just starting, but yeah, the layoff aversion program is going to wrap up, and yeah, we will be looking to.
But
really the goal is to, prevent a culture of prevention with employers and really build a strong human capital infrastructure so that whichever employer is on the verge of laying off, we can avert that layoff,
right?
And then minimize the risk of the takes of the best safety available to as quickly as possible.
And just provide more background on how we connected and coordinated. You sent me an email telling me that there were letting me know of the WARN Act, right, with Providence.
Yes.
You want to provide?
Yes. So we received a WARN notice for Providence, and they were in active communication with me. They did not want to do a rapid response for the impacted employees. I later learned that a majority of the employees impacted, they were actually able to transfer internally within the company, but there were two of the employees impacted that they couldn't find positions for. So they had asked us for additional assistance if we had any other companies that we were aware of that were hiring for those specific positions. I believe it was a nurse practitioner and
physical therapist,
yes. So I was able to reach out to Terry, and she was able to connect with her network and provide that information to their human resources team to help get those individuals connected to possible available positions.
I think that's really amazing, and perhaps strategically one thing that this group and maybe the board in general can take a look at is invite more trade associations to be part of this body. So for example, if manufacturing is trending to be something, sorry, my eyes, perhaps having a local or regional representative from the manufacturing association could be at the table so that we can provide an exchange information and data, hopefully before any of it happens, but certainly upon those decisions happening, have a system or a situation like what just happened in the healthcare industry. So just a point to think about as we broaden the scope and the reach of this body and this network.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move on to number 9. Micro business grants.
Okay, so now I'm back to talk about the micro business grant. So for those of you who are new to our board, so the micro business grant was intended to help those micro businesses located in Orange County who were impacted by COVID-19. So as you heard, like a micro business grant is a business who had like less than 5 full-time employees, made less than $50,000 in 2018 taxable year. So those are just a couple of the qualifiers. We wanted to prioritize businesses that were owned by women, minorities, veterans, and businesses that are located like in rural areas or low wealth areas. So as of yesterday, actually, great news, we just identified the 1,470 businesses who are eligible for the grant. So right now we're just currently working on the administrative side to go ahead and distribute all of those funds. We just wanted to thank you all for all of your help
in spreading the word and sharing the program to get the $3,675,000 out. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Yeah. Quick question. Downtown Santa Ana businesses, most of them are small businesses. Do you know how many of them apply?
I did see quite a few, actually. So even there's been times where, like, I've driven by and I've seen, I know there's particularly a tattoo shop there that got the grant. I don't know the exact number, but I do know that we were able to award a few of the businesses there.
So the hard part with this grant is you got the California Relief Grant. You don't qualify for this one.
Right, yeah.
But just so you know, I mean, the work that you guys all did, we work with other counties east of us. I'm sure you can figure it out. One of them is giving back more than half. They only did 276 grants. Out of 1,200 and are giving back all the rest of the money. Many counties couldn't get any of the money out, so for you guys to get through all of it, I think that's a precedent. So good job.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
And thank you for explaining that, because I think a lot of the small businesses didn't even apply for the state grant, but yeah. That's why I was interested to see how many.
And there were several rounds of that.
Yes.
Yeah, there were quite a few applicants who did receive the grant. So we did see that a lot. So I'm assuming people that know how to apply for grants or businesses that do saw this opportunity and applied for it as well. But yeah, absolutely.
Questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to item 10. Our says regional initiatives and conference of economic development.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. A lot of great information, exciting news. So all of this ties into our regional initiatives, of course, especially when it comes to business services. So currently, if you can go to slide 36, please. So the first thing that I want to discuss is just our regional and local plan. So it is completed. It's been posted for our 30-day public comment, and it is currently now going before boards. For Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County, it's going to go before this board, and as well as the council, city council, and the board of supervisors. So that is the final step, is getting all of those final approvals, and then we need to get that up to the state by June 30th, and that will officially end the two-year plan modification, and in about a year and a half, we'll be back at it for the full plan again. So we'll be writing a new four-year plan. Time goes by so fast, I will just say that, because I feel like we blinked. There's a lot of changes just because when that plan was written, it was really at the height of COVID. It was in 2019, so there was a lot of COVID language that we got updated and were able to provide some updated information. So when you don't have anything to do at night, it's a good read. You just sit in the bed and read that. And our next thing is our Orange Regional Planning Unit, a regional board meeting. So that's where all three workforce development boards come together. I sat with the directors and we came up with these two dates, July 19th for the next one. And then the one after that will be January 24th. So I'll be sending out that date for you. As you know, David Schinder was the one that facilitated those meetings, and we still need to kind of work on our vision and mission. He's supposed to get that information back out to us so we can finalize that and do some of the strategic planning for the region as a whole. One of the things that came out of my meeting with the directors on our strategic planning was to kind of do some type of industry week to kind of engage businesses. I need to say, from a business service perspective, business services ties very much into the regional work, right? We rely heavily on our business services team, and each one of the workforce development area boards all have a business services team at varying levels. Marco just hired three staff, which is at Anaheim. So he's also ramping up his business services team. And then Deborah has a couple of longtime people that are two people there, as well as other business representatives within our ecosystem. So Employment Development Department has business reps. You have Department of Rehab that has business reps, as well as some of our community college partners also now have employer engagement specialists. So you've heard them under different names. We're all after the same thing. We're all after that business intelligence. We all need that business intelligence to really make good decisions on who we're training, where we need to train, and where are we going? It's not all about today, what we're training in today, but as much as it is looking a little bit into the future as best that we possibly can to understand where do we need to, you know, start honing people's skills to get them to robotics and these other types of things. And so you're seeing a lot of that in our, you know, K through 12 and integrating some different things as from there, but it really has to translate all the way up through K through 12. So you have that program, now you have K through 16 funding that's come down. And so it's all kind of stretching up to the workforce development system. And so Industry Week is going to be just something that we've decided to maybe embark on a little differently to engage employers, where we would look at each one of our industry sectors and have a industry sector day to where we bring employers out, try to gain some of that industry intelligence, and again, develop some partnerships with them so that we can kind of move initiatives forward and work within our ecosystem to make sure that we have the right people skilled up and able to move into the positions that are going to be available. We would like to do this in partnership for sure with our ecosystem partners. Again, just really trying to build a system where we collectively work together to go after employers and to do that as a whole. When you talk about, let's just say for Orange County, you having a couple of business service reps, you know, and covering 32 cities, how far can they go, right? But if you take the two here, three here, you got two at EDD, you got three over here, and if we can say, hey, let's get together, let's figure out how we really get out there, reach into the community, touch all these businesses, share business intelligence, and serve them as a whole. That's really what an integrated system is supposed to look like. And so we're really trying to work hard on that from a regional level, and a local level, to kind of figure out how we can seamlessly reach out to businesses so they're not confused about who's knocking on their door today. Then we have regional grants. So right now we have the Regional Equity and Recovery Program, which is a $1.3 million grant. That one is going before the Board of Supervisors May 23rd to accept that funding. Once they accept that funding, we will kind of be off and running. We're really kind of already in the midst of it, but that is the grant that basically is, we have two regional funding streams this time, which is the RERP and the Regional Implementation 5.0. We usually just have the Regional Implementation 5.0, which is under the governor's discretionary funds, and it's WIOA funding, right? The Regional Economic Recovery Program is state funded this time, right? So the state, they were flush with money and they said, hey, we're gonna fund this project, and they funded at a higher level. So 1.3 million is more than we ever get from a regional perspective. We're usually around that 375 round, 375,000. In addition to that, giving more money, we do have to provide direct services, which we normally do not have to do. So we will serve 137 participants under this grant. And also we were required to partner with our community college partners on this grant application. Even though it was submitted under the boards, we were required to work with them on projects that we wanted included. And when we submitted that, the chancellor's office had a different set of money that they were giving to the community colleges. So it's funded by two different pots of money from the chancellor's office and state fund, state governor's money. And so each college got $140,276. So we'll be working with Coastline, North Orange County Continuing Education, Santa Ana, and Saddleback. So those are four colleges that are part of it. A big part of this is really just alignment, really developing how do we work better together and serving individuals. Community colleges are a great place to provide training because it's affordable and our money can go further. Some of the challenges that we have are just getting our courses on the eligible training provider list, iTrain/eligible training provider list, and so that we can actually spend WIOA funds on those training programs. So that's one of the things that we need to do, is to work with them to make that happen, as well as develop the method of how they accept the ITA vouchers. and I'm speaking holistically, you guys do it a little bit different in Orange County because you have your service providers who actually is able to just directly pay, whereas Santa Ana and Anaheim, they are, it's kind of an in-house procedure, so that it goes through their city, right? Their city's processes. So it looks a little differently for them, but nevertheless, we have to really get them on the ETPL, figure out how we're going to make sure they get paid. Currently, we're working on the medical lab technician program under Saddleback. They are already on the ETPL. They're the only ones of the colleges that are already out of the four that we're working with already have programs on there. It is a two-year program. We are going to be serving English language learners, immigrants, refugees, first-generation college students, and veterans. This is the target population of this grant. It's a rigorous program. So 2 years, rigorous program. We are in conversation with them about changing how it's going to be delivered. So we are really pushing that it's not same old same. I don't have to go enroll in a semester, you know, by semester each class. We're talking to them about cohorts. So we have to serve 47 participants just under this particular program. So the 187 people are split up amongst these four programs. So there's 47 for this one. Can we cohort them, put them all together and move them through quicker, right? It could be evening or something that's going to work for the population, move them through quickly. Another conversation is being that it's maybe more stackable certificates. So as a part of medical lab technician, for instance, there's phlebotomy is a part of that. That alone could stand. Someone can go get, you know, their phlebotomy certificate, get their licensing, go ahead and be a phlebotomist, right? So can we put those coursework first, get them in that, give them a certificate, get them employed, keep moving them through the process. So now they have something that's maybe sustaining them through employment and moving them through the whole full 2 year program. The other thing is maybe from a perspective of having some medical background, identifying individuals who may be from other immigrants that do have some kind of medical background from another country. So they're not starting from a ground zero, right? They may need to do some things to use their credentials here, but maybe we can get them going in that way. So those are just some of the thoughts we were having with them to just try to push the envelope of not really doing it the same way we always do it. The regional planning implementation 5.0, the state is just now working on the contracts for that. So we're just waiting on that one. The prison to employment grant, that is a $884,000 grant that is a regional grant that we went in together, but Santa Ana is the lead on that one. And so we will be working together to administer that program. They will be doing, they will put out an RFP though. They do want service providers to come under that program. And then the Community Economics and Resilience Funding, as you guys know, OCBC is leading that initiative. I am sitting on the HRTC and will be participating in a couple of the meetings for workforce development and then local government meetings. So currently they're doing some level setting kind of information, just really a lot of labor market information. They have contracted with Mapping Black California, for instance, and some other organizations to provide labor market information. They're kind of touching on a bunch of different subject matters, such as climate and things like that, just to kind of give everybody this baseline of information of what it is that we need to do as a part of this. And then they will start breaking out into more smaller meetings into those tables that that they plan to do. California Forward, Michael Weinberg has been leading the kind of the Friday meetings so far. And not sure how many of you get any of that information, but if it's helpful, I would definitely share it out to you. You know, the mapping is kind of, there's some good information in that.
Justin sent out an email this morning. Did y'all get that?
You guys get it?
Okay. There's a meeting on Monday, May 8th from 1 to 2. There's a registration link survey as well.
Yeah, I was going to say the data that is being shared specifically this last Friday, it was education and the jobs of the future, the animation. It was really, really interesting. So if you're able to attend, please do so. It's about an hour. It's about an hour of conversation and then about 45 minutes of data analysis.
So did most of you get that information then? Okay, I won't bore you with another email on top of that. Any other questions?
Yeah, the Regional Equity and Recovery Program. So have you engaged any employers around the medical lab technician program yet?
We have not. So we're just now kind of in the conversation with them about the delivery of it.
Okay.
So there's that clinical piece of it. Initially, they did say that they had some kind of contract with Riverside County, and again, another pushback on local. It's just because of the population we're serving, I can't have the expectation that they're going to be able to get to Riverside County to do those clinicals. So definitely, if you want, we can connect.
That would be great. Yeah. I'm concerned about that two-year program as well.
Yes.
You know, especially at that wage level. Are there supportive services included?
We will, so the boards mainly will probably be they'll be responsible for the supportive services out of that WIOA funding. So that'll supplement that. Mostly anticipating that the majority probably will qualify for some type of financial aid. However, WIOA funding would support the cost of training in the event that it does not.
Okay.
So that's why it's important for us to get the other programs on the ETPL also, just in case we do need to supplement with WIOA funding. But yes, definitely lots of support services. Again, really just challenging them to do something differently. So Israel has been the one I've been talking to, and he's done some creative things already, mm-hmm. I think, with programming. It's under a different department, so he's already reached out to them. They agreed to have that conversation about that. So I'm ecstatic just to have someone be able to consider it. I know it's not, you know, it's not always easy to change the way that we do these programs, especially in our bureaucracies in this case, right? There's a lot of legalities that sometimes even we don't know about that. Why it sounds so easy, why can't we? But there's a lot behind the scenes. So I think that's the, but we have them willing to consider. So I'm really glad about that. Anything else?
I have a quick question. Yes, ma'am. Regarding the prison to employment grant, where are those funds coming from?
They are coming, they're WIOA, the governor's discretionary funding.
Okay, fantastic. And I heard you say
WIOA.
I heard you say that it's a regional initiative, but when I looked through all 98 pages of my packet, it looked like Santa Ana and Anaheim were the two that were involved in that. Is the county involved?
County's involved.
Okay,
and the county's always.
There's $844,000. Should we stay equally, or is it just collected?
No, it's a collective effort to basically enroll and refer. Again, they're going to do it a little differently. So they have, so Santa Ana was the lead the last time on the prison to employment funding. And it was done in-house. So they are going to subcontract though to community providers. So they're going to put out an RFP for that. So how that looks this time, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure, Rhonda. That remains to be seen. So they are looking to kind of spread that out though, which is good. I think, you know, there's definitely some organizations that serve that target population very well.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. All right. Any other questions? Okay. I have 11 on the agenda, fiscal oversight update. Who will be delivering this?
That's going to be me.
Oh,
okay. Bring up the metrics. All right, so Annette's already kind of touched on the regional one. So the top one right there is the REOV 5.0, and then REP is the next one. And then on down to the micro business grant. As you can see, we've fully funded that now. Just so you know, too, we did go to the governor's office and ask for additional funding because we did have probably about an additional 200 qualified businesses that we could not fund because we ran out. But unfortunately, the funds were allocated by regions and they were not flexible there. Like you mentioned, I know Los Angeles had, I don't even know if they started their program. Like last I heard, they hadn't, but we tried to get some additional funding there, but we weren't able to, unfortunately. The STEPS program's currently active and running well. Goodwill is our provider there. Prisons of Employment Initiative that's being, you know, has Annette mentioned, that's being led by Senator Annabeth. As far as with the CARES and Dislocated Worker Grant, we're currently in discussion with the Department of Labor to see if we can get an extension there. And then also with an extension, if we get approval to procure some items which would be outside of the normal procurement practices. Normally when it comes to these grants, they don't like us to receive any items from the last year of the grant. Now, with the procurement processes for items such as an LMS system, a mobile unit, those items take significant time to procure. Right? They have to be built, they have to be designed before we receive them. It would be the last year of the contract. So we asked DOL for an exemption. They actually responded yesterday with like a list of items we need to satisfy for that exemption. So we need to go through that and see if we meet those exemptions. If we're not able to meet the terms of the procurements, we will be looking to return those funds. We will still continue to run the program, but just through our regular WEOWO dislocated worker funds and not through the Department of Labor grant.
What's the probability of the
I just read the email this morning. I glanced over it. Challenging. We need to be able to demonstrate supply chain delays, which initially were definitely were, but now as we've kind of transitioned out of a COVID manufacturing delays, being able to justify those delays is going to be challenging. They basically are requiring us to show that there are means out of our control as to why it's taking 9 months to receive a custom bill, which is a typical timeline, so it's going to be hard to justify. We're going to see if we can, but we obviously don't want to put ourselves in anything like that. You know, if we can't do it, we'll just run the program with our regular funding. So the subgrant agreement, I don't know how much detail you'd like me to get into.
I have a question about that again, sorry.
Sure,
so if we were to return that to DOL, is it all of the $3 million or is it a portion of it?
It would be what we haven't spent, which is 95% of it. We've been very conservative with what we've been spending. As soon as we identified we may have concerns in being able to deliver deliverables within the time frame that we were given, we kind of stopped spending on the grant. So we didn't proceed with any of the procurements. Then we opened up the DOL's position is they don't want them to do that,
yeah.
Right? They want us to run the program. Our position is we want to run the program, but we also want to be able to make sure we can deliver on what we promised. And we weren't going to be able to do it within the original terms of the contract. With the extension, we may be able to do it, but then there's a lot more involved there. We need to be able to do the whole thing. We've got to make sure that we can deliver. And if we can't deliver, we'd much rather give the money back than keep the money and fall short of the deliverables. The main deliverable for the grant is 600 participants. As I mentioned earlier, as of yesterday, we've got 190, which is pretty incredible from where we started. Basically, we started delivering the program in September, is when we had staff on board to start delivering. So it's September to May, we brought in 199 participants, which is a huge number. It was a two-year program, though. The program's the original term of the program is to end October this year. So, you know, we've got, you know, about five months left here, 6 months if you count this whole month. So it's an unreasonable expectation must be able to bring in an additional 401 participants in 6 months. And if we did, we would not be properly serving. So we have to look at that too. But if they give us an additional year extension, so now we're looking at 19 months, 20 months to be able to deliver. We bring in additional staffing and we're able to do our procurements that we originally had in the project, we may be able to do it, but we need to be able to look in there and say, are we going to do it? We don't want to fail again. You know? And we can, like I say, we can still deliver these program services with our regular real funding.
When do you expect to know about the extension?
Hopefully within the next week. We got a response, like I said, we got a response late yesterday from DOL. I read it this morning. We've got to look and see, you know, if we can meet that requirements for the deals. It's good, you know, it's going to take us to look at that. If we think we can do it, then we'll respond to DOL. And what we'll do from there is we will officially request the extension from DOL. The 12-month extension. If we get that extension, we'll run the program. If we don't think we can deliver, then we'll just continue to, we've already started the process to return the money. That's where this conversation with the LL started. So we'll just continue that process.
I'm just wondering if this would work against us in the future with DOL.
I think it's not going to look good either way, right? So if we take the money and we fail, it's going to look very bad. If we give the money back, it's going to look great. I think the lesser of the two evils is to give the money back saying, hey, we did our due diligence here. We'd rather these funds go back and they can be reallocated somewhere, as opposed to keep it funded when we know what it is. I think it's better to be transparent. And DOL, like I say, they don't want the money back, but they understand the opposition.
This one, in the back.
I'm just curious,
which line item is this discussion about?
It's the next one. Can you go up a little bit, please, Sylvia? Right there. So it says the Comprehensive and Accessible Reemployment Through Equitable Employment Recovery. It's called CARES, is the acronym for it. It's that one. It's to serve primarily dissipated workers.
Careers program?
Yes. Yes. So it's a $3 million grant to serve dissipated.
Please keep us updated on whatever choice was made.
Yeah, we will.
Maybe a quick memo so that we know.
We will. And so after the grant matrix, so now we have basically the different expenditure reports and fiscal reports for the departments. I don't know how much detail you'd like to go into with these. This right here is the subgrant agreement. This is our primarily our VOA formula funding. So for our core programming, so it should be the adult, dislocated worker, the rapid response, the version. You scroll down just a little bit so you can kind of see the breakdown of how much funding is for each program. So right here, you can kind of see the funding for dislocated worker rapid response. It is in round, so there's kind of sets of each money. This is all for round one. We haven't received the round two funding yet. So you can see for adult, we've got about 700,000. For the youth programs, we've got about 4 million. For dislocated worker, we've got about 1 million. But like I say, this is the first round. We will also receive a second round on top of this for a 2-year cycle. Let's scroll down a little bit. So these are our expenditures. So this one right here is for July. So this is January's. Scroll down a bit. Do you guys want me to go line by line with these, or
does anybody?
Okay, we just kind of go through. So when it comes to reading reports, like the hardest part is identifying which month it's for. So if you go to the very top, so if you want to look at these packets in a little bit more detail, where it says the report period, it's going to give you the year and then the month. So the so that says 2023-01 would be for January. And then you scroll down. So it's January's expenditures. You can probably scroll through the expense reports. But if anyone has questions on the expense reports, like if you have an opportunity to review them and there's something you have questions on, please email me.
Well, if you could help us in terms of identifying anything that should be red flagged or noted for us, these are a lot of numbers.
So the biggest thing is we're underspending a little bit on our like our business service programs, like our layer closure and rapid response programs.
Okay.
I think part of that's just been staffing, right? We didn't have Mary Ann about a week and a half ago. So now we're bringing in full staff. We're going to be able to ramp up those programs. We've got over $1 million of layer closure funding available, right? So we want to be able to make sure we use those funds to support businesses more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest thing. We're underspending a little bit there. And historically, we've underspent that. It's definitely been an opportunity for us. But we're pretty confident as we move forward, and we've got a talented team coming in that we're actually going to be able to wrap up those services and start fully fully funded, you know, fully funded FIT program that and spending that those funds. You can scroll down, yeah. And just when it comes to our core programs too, so we are entering the fourth and final year for our adult programs. We're entering the fourth and final year for our youth programs with our service, I'm sorry, not, so we're an operator for our youth programs with our service providers. So we'll be releasing RFPs here in the upcoming months for just to identify new service providers for the following fiscal year.
I know it's not in this report, probably in the youth committee, but how are our providers doing now? Are they doing better in numbers? Because we had an outreach kind of challenge during COVID.
Yeah, so yeah, COVID definitely has some challenges, especially for our programs for participants. With our adult dislocated worker program, we started off kind of slow this fiscal year because we're a new service provider. So they had all new staff. They had to train and develop, right? So you can imagine the first couple months, they weren't really bringing in new participants. So they started off a little bit slow, but they've definitely, this last quarter, been ramping up service delivery. Our youth program too, they had some staffing concerns, staffing challenges over this last year, but they've definitely been kind of ramping up service delivery in this last quarter or so. We're engaging with conversations with them right now, how they can have a successful year next year.
Yeah.
So we're really hopeful this next fiscal year, we're actually gonna hit the ball running. Our two new service locations is going to be drivers of that too, right? Because we're going to be moving the comprehensive center from the city of Garden Grove to Brea to a much larger, more robust service center where we're going to have just more services available in there, which is going to allow for more co-enrollment, more participants. And then we're also, and our youth program is going to be housed primarily in the same structure that our adult dislocated worker program. It's just going to be a better experience for the participant. And then we're also going to have a South County location opening up the beginning of the new fiscal year also. So it's going to expand our reach where we actually have a brick and mortar in South County. It's going to be in Laguna Niguel. We're going to have direct reach to El Toro, Lunadale, Luisa Vieja, all those areas around there. In Laguna Woods, right? We're going to have older adults, this big senior population in that area. We're going to have older adult programs in the center too. So we're going to be able to expand our reach and serve a lot of these ways.
Going back to the grant list, we were just scanning over there.
Sure.
I'm just curious to know, I'm hearing a lot of themes in terms of staffing, the process of staffing within the county is the process, right? Of the grants that we're looking at or that are in play right now, are there any that we foresee might be require us to overcome any challenges similar to the one that we talked about with the DOL so that we can think through right now what can we do at this point?
So
understanding that staffing is and it's a theme.
It's a challenge, yes. And the biggest challenge with it, just from an operational standpoint, is the county doesn't want us to add positions until we already have the money available, right? They don't want to do it on pay. We applied for this money and allow us to hire based on an application. We have to receive the money. And then the hiring process can start. And the hiring process is a few months. So we start off in a hole with some of these big grants. But what we're starting to do now is we're staffing up, and Renee's been doing a great job for us, enabling us to add positions to our unit. So now, for example, our veteran program. So our veteran program was funded by a veteran grant, right? It was the BEAT grants, which just ended end of March. But we've now maintained those services by using our regular EOA formula funding. We're keeping those staff on board. We're actually adding staff to that program. That program's using regular EOA funding. But now if a BEAT grant becomes available again, or a veteran-specific grant becomes available again, we apply for it now. We already have the staff in place.
Yeah, and so you're braiding different types of funding streams in order to
exactly, yeah. So we're using our core funding to recruit and maintain and train and develop the staff and provide services. And then when additional grants now become available, we can now then use that grant revenue to fund the program. And we're starting off, you know, I don't want to say we're starting off running, but we're starting off warm as opposed to starting off with a grant.
Yeah.
So We've kind of changed our business model a little bit there. We've got a little bit smarter about it because we learned the lesson, right, with this career grant. You know, we don't like to fail. You know, we want this money coming into our community. You know, we don't want to give that back to DOL and it get dispersed to another community. We want it to stay in Orange County. We've learned a valuable lesson here, and I think we've changed our operational model a little bit here. And we're going to be a little bit more selective, I think, with grant opportunities. We want to look at it like, hey, if we set this grant, can we do it with our current staffing, and then with the potential to add additional staffing?
Well, thanks for explaining the material fact, which is that county does not want staffing or the process to begin until unless the money is received. So that brings up other questions, which is how can we position it? I mean, that's a different conversation for another time, because then we end up in this loop. But it sounds like there are tactics that are beginning to emerge so that we don't get into that kind of position.
And another method too is, I mean, we're going to be releasing some RFPs here for service providers, right? So if we have procured service providers available, and then we get funding, we can contract
them,
as opposed to providing.
That's right. Any other comments or questions? All right. So that takes us where are we now? And. That done. So are we at number 12, ED compliance? Yes.
So scroll down a little bit. Uh-huh. If there's any new updates since the last meeting on this? We have an old an old audit that's still open. There hasn't been anything on this. I keep going down. It's almost the last page.
So there you go, up a little bit.
So that was the original ones, right, from 2017, 2018, which is still ongoing. And then this is all the same as from the last board meeting. There's been no changes since the last board meeting.
Are they the radio sound at this point?
We've got some new ones which are just starting to cut down, but those processes are just starting. Last question.
All right. Any comments or questions regarding compliance? Okay. All right. So then that takes us to, thank you so much for that and for the details. Item 13 is open discussion. We called this out about a year and a half or so ago to give the group an opportunity after we've gone through the reports, thoughts about more around the strategy side of things so that we can really leverage the expertise in it. Typically, by the end of the meeting, we're all like, it's not necessarily a prime place for those types of open discussions, but it's good to have that space. Are there any items that we want to, at this point, open up or discuss, whether right now or perhaps agendize in the next quarter's conversation? More high level. Where do we go from here on those types of things? Again, knowing that we're in a transition.
I think once the staff is hired and woke up, perhaps revisit how we can be right of assistance and support so that we can do more business outreach. And I had mentioned a couple of business groups, like the National Hispanic Business Woman, to connect with them. All of them are very active. They own restaurants throughout the county. Teresa's Jewelers, for example, sits on that board. So I think it would be a good connection maybe to follow up that conversation, maybe even a sub-bidding. So it doesn't have to be like the big lunch meeting on how we can help. So that one, the businesses become more active, doing outreach to 96 businesses. I know how difficult it is, believe me. That's why I asked, what's the hesitation? There has to be something that we can do so that we can help and support maybe, I don't know, even business to business follow-up, hey, complete that, that questionnaire because we want it, the feedback and just technical stuff like that, that perhaps we can come come back to it and just so that the agenda, I know the agenda is always this busy, but
yeah,
perhaps during this few minutes, kind of touch on.
Yeah.
Put it on the agenda officially so that we can touch on.
And I also heard a couple of parking lot items that we talked about earlier today about some potential continuous improvement ideas. So we'll make sure that those as well. Any other comments or questions? And I'll keep turning this way, make sure y'all feel comments, feedback. Yes.
Okay, so I just basically take it all in what we're learning here. One thing is communication. Everyone in the county. So like, let's say for instance, UCI has a labor study going on. So it's good to take in their input of what's going on. So they're not counteracting anything that's going on in there. Workforce development, labor, as far as trades, they're always looking to help the help their, how do you say it? Help their people in their community work themselves up to a better living where they're not having to move to LA, they're not having to move to Riverside, they're getting a good job within their city that they're living in that they can afford, you know, have their kids in school sports, activities after work. So we talk with all the building trade unions, labor federation, let's make sure everyone's in sync with that because you know, when the EDD puts out their bulletins for job listings, you know, there's no communication there. Some of these people, they have the education where they can go right into a trade or let's say a career that involves a full labor program. There's no retraining there. It's just a slip right in. I'm always looking at it. So just get my feet wet, taking it with that. I'm here on the screen today. So
thank you for the feedback and outreach and getting everyone linked together is definitely a big part of what we're aiming to do, not just on this committee, but the entire board. So again, growing and getting more people from different sectors of the community is an important part of helping make that happen. And feel free to send any feedback how we can do things better privately or however you want to communicate. All right, so yes.
So I just wanted to listen to all the challenges with the short staffing and demand that is out there connecting hiring companies with jobs. And recently, I'm sure we've all heard about things like ChatGPT and AI coming in. And on one hand, there's a risk about job loss, but on the other hand, there's also opportunity to get more things done with the staff that you have. Right? So, if anybody wants to kind of brainstorm some of those things, I'd be happy to be a resource.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Earlier, we talked about how to be automated at all. Right? So, definitely hearing from there, so it's not from the table. And then we have another person who's also part of tech. Carlos is part of tech. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Any other comments, questions, thoughts? I know for those of us who are on the board, there's something on the calendar next week that may shift. So keep an eye on an announcement around that. But hearing nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 10:40. Thank you. And then see you next time.
Next time.
Yeah.